bring in Paul Jones, our Raptors radio analyst on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Speaking of needing, do the Raptors need LeBron James right now? Paul, I loved your tweet because I was thinking the same thing. It's like, you know, damn it, we changed schools, you know, and you know, we're in another grade and it's the same old bully. He's part of our cohort. There's nothing we can do to get rid of him.
Yeah, and at some point you're going to have to get rid of him, be it one way or the other, be it, punch him out yourself or get somebody to take him out and say, don't mess with me, or you know, like, you got to get rid of him. I mean, if you're going to, it's just kind of destiny, it seems, right? Like, okay, finish first, and then you don't have to worry about him. You know, you'll see him in the conference finals, or, you know, maybe somebody will beat him for you, and here he is in your face again. So, DeMar DeRozan was asked yesterday about this team going forward, and the question was, I think it was by Eric Smith, basically asked, is this the best equipped this team has been to beat LeBron or to, you know, get to the finals or whatever? And in a word, he answered yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you know, if you saw LeBron's interview at the end of the game yesterday.
Yeah, we played it. He was pretty clear. some respect there.
And there's some respect. And this is a, you know, I've always been able to do whatever it takes for my team with help, but I could be fighting 11 or 12 dudes here. I'm not so sure. And it's not that he was saying that, but he suddenly got an out if Toronto beats him. He's laid the groundwork to say, well, I told you they had a good bench and they got 12, they go 12 or 13 deep. And, you know, they've been trying to knock us off for years. And all these things now are plausible, you know, excuses for him going forward.
All right, I'm going to ask you this. How do you stop LeBron James? This is an easy question for a Monday morning.
You don't.
Okay, how do you approach this? How do you approach this then if you're the Raptors? How do you approach this?
That's what I said to Rogers Lajoie last night. You have to, like Indiana did, play your style and focus on stopping the entire team, not LeBron James. Because I could give you, you know, Flex Seal and waterproof gloves and say, put your hands together, Jeff, and I'm going to pour, two glasses of water in there. I want you to hold them. And after a while, you're going to have leaks. Like, you can't. Like, you can't stop this guy. So what you need to do is concentrate on stopping the team as a whole. Like, you know, making sure that you rebound, making sure that you score and get quality possessions at your end, play to your strength with your bench and your ball movement and your three-point shooting. All of those things have improved. And it's not necessarily stopping LeBron James, because he's going to do what he does. He may not have the same supporting cast, but you know what? We're better at a bunch of other things, and that's what we're going to do. Mm. We're better defensively, as a top five team in defensive rating. We're better offensively as a top five team in taking and making 3-point shots. We're better in ball movement. We're better than we were last year with hockey assists and getting more guys involved. So that's what you're going to kind of have to look at for beating LeBron James. It's not, oh, I'm going to stop LeBron and we're going to get this thing done, because nobody stopped him.
Yeah, and I agree. LeBron is going to be – the stars are their stars, and LeBron is going to be LeBron, and DeRozan's going to be DeRozan. Kyle Lowry's going to be him. So who is a player on the Raptors that can really make a difference other than a star, one of those three guys that can make a difference in beating the Cavs?
I think you're looking at your bench, Corey, and the guys that you know, Cleveland's eventually going to have to take LeBron off the court and Kevin Love off the court to give them a break. When they bring those guys in, can your bench do what it's done all year and hold a lead, increase a lead, make up a deficit, and then maybe force the other guy to say, you know what, I need to bring my starters back in because the bench isn't getting it done. And, you know, the cumulative effect of that, you know, kind of wears guys down on the other team. LeBron's already said how tired he is. So, you know, those are the kinds of things you're going to have to do. It's not the star. You're hoping that you know what you get out of your stars, Lowry and DeRozan. And, you know, Kyle had a great game in the closeout in game six, but, you know, in game one, where all the angst is, Lowry and DeRozan basically had the same stats they've had in every game one, and this time the bench helped them win. So, you know, Van Vliet back in the lineup helps, DeLon Wright, the bench unit as a whole with Siakam, Poeltl, Miles, be ready to go 11 or 12 deep with Nogueira and Powell. It's those guys that are going to have to help you, you know, make up the incremental differences.
LeBron says he's tired. Well, have a nap, right? Like, you're tired? Come on. You know what? I saw him. He was pretty good. 45 points. I don't think he's that tired.
Do you see
the Raptors as an underdog?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, if you're fighting the guy that's been to the finals for the last 7 years, and you know, until you knock him off, and it's one of those where he's not the same, his team's not the same, but, you know, until he's in jail and I've got the key and I've got people watching the jail door saying he's still in there, he could hurt you. So, I people will look at the records and say Toronto's the number one seed at home court. That guy's still playing. And until you can beat that guy, you've got to give him the upper hand.
We saw Cleveland utilize LeBron as a point guard yesterday. LeBron, it doesn't matter. LeBron could start standing on top of the scoreboard, and he's going to have the ball in his hand at the point at some point during the game. But we also saw Tristan Thompson play a significant role. Do you think for the Cavaliers, Jonesy, that might be a way? I mean, let's flip the dialogue a little bit here and say, what do the Cavaliers have to do to beat the Raptors? Do you think Tristan Thompson might be the key to them having a better chance at beating the Raptors?
He was yesterday because they played high screen and roll. He was great in terms of his rebounding. And with other guys on the floor, Korver, J.R. Smith, they couldn't offer Kevin Love. They couldn't offer a lot of help. So LeBron got to the basket. And if there was resistance, it was like a two-on-two game with three other guys standing around at times. And Tristan Thompson's going to get you second possessions with offensive rebounds. So, he's a key. He is a key. Look, the guy hasn't played a lot this year, but he's still a veteran and understands what to do. And I thought one of the big keys in the Raptors series was the rebounding. When JV was in the game, he did a great job rebounding, cutting down on second chance opportunities for Washington. And he's also a very good screen setter.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the top 40 or top 50 in screen assists. Those are assists that lead directly to a score. So, you know, he might be the matchup for Tristan. But to your original point, yeah, Tristan's a key. He is a key for Cleveland and just kind of, you know, playing conventionally. High screen and roll, LeBron surrounded with shooters. If you help off Love or Korver or J.R. Smith, LeBron's going to find the guy. So it's kind of a pick your poison.
When the teams met earlier this year in Cleveland, lo and behold, it was Jose Calderon who ended up having he had 19 points plus 27 starting in place of George Hill. Now, I presume George Hill will be healthy enough to start in this series. But is there the Cavaliers bench, and LeBron made this point yesterday that, look, when he left the game, they were leading by two, I think he said. When I came back, they were leading by nine. So the bench did the job there. Is there anything about the Cavaliers bench, Jonesy, that would concern you if you were the Raptors? Is there anything you see there?
The fact that, you know, a guy like Calderon, and depending on what starting lineup they use, because mm-hmm. they've used a bunch of different ones, but if you have Calderon, Korver on the floor, with George Hill, and he's going to break you down. Hill's going to get into your paint or break down your defense in a screen and roll and start pitching it out to those guys who can make shots, as Calderon did. in the game in Cleveland, yeah, that's a concern. And your defense has to be, it has to be tight. Your screen roll defense has to be tight. You have to know shooters, you know, stay home on them, rotate if you have to. But yeah, there are, you know, they've got some guys, you know, on that bench, you know, that can make shots. And again, it just depends on, you know, what kind of lineup Ty Lue decides to use and who he decides to keep in the game. But it's always a concern because if there's ball movement and they get the littlest crack in your defense to break you down and force you into rotation, the ball always seems to find the right guy at the right time.
Mm. Is this series really the championship series?
Well, I don't know, because Philadelphia, with its, I call it blissful ignorance, nobody's told them that you're too young to be winning.
Yep.
The same way nobody told Shaquille O'Neal and Penny Hardaway back in, you know, 95 that, you know, no, you guys are too young to get to the finals. Nobody told them that. So Philadelphia looks really good right now, and they've got a couple of veterans to aid their cause. And, you know, Amir Johnson and J.J. Redick and Marco Bellinelli and Ilya Sova. They've got some old heads that have been through some battles to kind of help Simmons and Embiid. Boston, I picked Milwaukee to win. I thought there's no way they could beat a broken down, injured Boston team that has difficulty scoring could beat Milwaukee, and they did. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a home court series. And they've got home court now, so who knows? But I wouldn't say that necessarily, Corey. I wouldn't. I mean, beating LeBron, and then it would be something if you could beat LeBron and then not get to the finals. I mean, that would be like, you know, you're down three in a game and everybody's looking for a three-pointer, and instead you drive to the basket and get fouled, and you're like, wow, I'm going to get my 3 points. And then you miss the free throw. You know, like it's you have to look at it as just another step.
What did we, looking back at the Wizards series just for a minute, you know, the Raptors winning that series in six, did we learn anything about the Raptors in that series, Jonesy? You know, the first seed beat the eight seed, that's supposed to happen. Although, again, I don't know how many eight seeds have had a backcourt like Washington's.
Right.
But did we learn anything about that, about the Raptors out of that series? Like, the one thing that I thought stood out to me a little bit, and I don't know how much, but Maybe this is just me kind of reverting to sort of a sports writer looking for a narrative. But, you know, I thought one of the things I noticed in Game 5 was I thought John Wall was flat out fatigued at the end of the game. And I thought the same thing as well in some of the other games in this series, that he'd just run into a wall because he'd played all of 10 games before the playoffs. And I kind of got the impression the Raptors went at him a little bit at times and really sort of wore him into the ground. Did you see that?
Yeah. He expended a lot of energy at both ends. I mean, John Wall is a good defender. That's the one thing I think that's underrated. He's a solid defensive guard when he chooses to be. And, you know, I thought the same, that he was, they didn't have it at the end. But I also learned that, if you're the Raptors, you have to understand now that the system that you refine for 82 games is what you have to lean on to get you through. Mm. In game four, when guys were turning down shots and the 9-1-1 end of the shot clock specials got back to Lowry and DeRozan, and they had 5 sets of eyes looking at them, that was the Raptors from years past. And we saw what happened in game four. They had an 8-point lead with 7 minutes to go and couldn't hold on because it turned into your turn, my turn. Hey, nobody's helping me here. Nobody wants to help me. I'll have to do it myself. And it didn't work. And I think what I learned is what they did for 82 games and what they refined is really good. So stay with it and use it and trust it. You know, if they do that, I really, really think they're going to give Cleveland a battle. And it would not surprise me if they stick to it and not revert and not deviate from it. It would not surprise me to see them say, you know what, this is our style and this is why we won. You know, you guys know what it's like. In boxing, a guy loses to somebody and says, get him again, right? Like, mm-hmm. I want to fight that guy again. Well, you refined your system of the Raptors to get Cleveland again. In case you got Cleveland again, you got him again.
Mm. Well, it's, you know, this is going to be, it's interesting because you look at the playoff series last year, Jonesy, and I think Cleveland was what? Were they plus 58 and three-pointers? Or I don't know, compared
yeah,
to Toronto?
Yeah, and going into game four, Jeff, I think they were tied and made field goals.
Right.
But because Cleveland was hitting home runs and the Raptors were punching out flares to right field and left
exactly.
field, Cleveland was up something like 70 points difference because of the three-point shooting.
Right.
That's a different narrative this year.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, the Raptors, they cut it down to, what, 10 or something like that. I'm just looking at it right now. Yeah.
And that's the change this year, Jeff. Mm-hmm. That's the change. You know.
Sorry, Cleveland was plus 34 on three-pointers 34? Last year. Pardon me. Yeah.
Yeah. In four games.
In four games, yeah.
Well, there you go. That's what, like 96 points, whatever it is?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, bad math.
Yeah.
102 points.
Close.
If you're Toronto, you've cut down on that this year, and you've been doing it the whole year. You're third and fourth, respectively, in three-point field goals attempted and three-point field goals made.
Yeah.
You're basically 11 for 33 every game.
Yeah.
And you know, they've gone Houston Rockets. I mean, mm-hmm. the Rockets are 15 of 44. They average four shots that are not in the paint a game. That's it. It's either at the rim, on the free throw line, or behind the arc. That's the only place, the shot spectrum. That's where we shoot from. And Toronto's probably not in that category, but they've stepped it up significantly from last year.
Yeah, and in three regular season games against the Cavs this year, they were actually, Toronto was plus 10 in three-pointers made. So that's a dramatic change from four games in the playoffs to, well, it's a 44th. It's a shift of 44, which is pretty telling.
Yeah. And it's the way you're doing it too, Jeff. You're not just standing there taking it up and chucking up threes.
Right.
You're moving the ball and getting good threes.
Right.
And again, it's part and parcel of the whole new style that Toronto's playing.